Okay. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You look so beautiful.
Thank you. So do you. I haven't seen you in a very, very long time.
I know. I've only seen pictures.
So let me introduce you to everyone here sitting in. This is Faye Wolf, the author of the author. This is Faye Wolf, the author of New Order. And I know you best as an actress, a singer and songwriter. But I've been hearing that you've moved into this new space of creating more space, which is actually what I do in a different way, with
Yes.
yoga and with helping people open their minds. And so I wanted to have you so desperately on as my first podcast guest.
Thank you.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
honored.
Thank you for being here and congratulations on your book. I'm going to hold it up so everyone can
Thank
see it.
you. Oh,
I love
thank
it.
you.
I love it. So tell me about your transition because we haven't caught up in a long time.
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of folks don't know that I've actually been a professional organizer for 10 years. And basically, we went to school together, of course, in Boston, and then I lived in New York for a few years as an actor and then moved out to Los Angeles as an actor. And in 2006, I decided to start myself a little side business, at the time. Because, like you also did, I sort of got the entrepreneurial bug, but I didn't really know that's what it was at that time. I just knew that I had to be more in charge of my life and have more control, and finally got the message that I can't be waiting around for life to happen and for jobs to come to me and all that kind of stuff. So I decided that while I was, simultaneously being an artist and not quite making ends meet that way, I would start this business and be my own boss. So I came to organizing because I didn't know what the business was going to be, and even though I had become an organized person, I wasn't really conscious of that. So I started like personal assisting for some friends of mine, and automatically was organizing their stuff and making files for them and things that I thought everyone already had on lockdown. But they were like, "Oh, this is amazing. I can't believe what you're doing." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it took me a little while to figure out that it was a real profession because I didn't know at that time. And then I had this sort of great sitting on the floor of my studio apartment, aha, big thing one night where I found the website for NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers. Yes,
What?
of course.
There's an
Thousands of
association.
members.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a big association, and one of the things I saw on the website was how they, make a fairly all right living, or can, and so I decided to jump in and, start doing more training and reading more books and hired some mentors and just went all in. And it's gone through many changes over the years. I'm sure you can relate to business highs and lows and different chapters of the business and thinking it's one thing and then realizing it's something else.
Because you organize for some stars, right?
I
You're out there, you're
do.
just not just organizing for just any old person now. You've been
Well,
organizing.
yes, I've been very lucky in terms of working with a clientele that, can afford the service, but also is great about spreading the word of mouth to other people. So that's been a blessing. And, a lot of those clients really started out because they're my friends who became successful and started spreading the word to their coworkers and whatnot. But really, I like to tell people that we all have the same stuff. There's really no difference whether I'm in, someone's studio apartment who's trying to make ends meet, or, a 5-bedroom mansion, or, whatever it is. We're really all dealing with the same sort of issues.
And so, what are the major issues that you see?
Yeah, well, I think the book, although it's has a strong bent toward creativity, and I define that very, as a large sort of definition of creativity, but it's really for everyone and all the issues that we're all dealing with in terms of not only what we want our spaces to feel like and our lives to feel like, but then also what those feelings can allow us to do next, what those can propel us into. It's a lot easier to make your art or start your business when you've got your to-do list in check, or when you don't have a bunch of piles covering over that project that you want to be working on. So there's just so many applications. And I just think that in general, people are really overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. And I happen to think that, perfectionism is a big part of it for a lot of people, because there's this feeling of all or nothing. There's this feeling of I need to be organized and it has to look a certain way. And I think those types of feelings that people have stop them from starting at all. And so,
Yes. What do they say? Don't let perfection stand in the way of being of starting of good.
Exactly. So I'm really into encouraging this idea of a little better is a little better, and taking small steps and just trying things out and seeing what sticks.
I love that, Faye, because that is exactly what I teach people about just making life change in general. And I even call it leveling up,
That's
increasing.
awesome.
Yeah, that there's this idea that do a small thing, make the tiniest, littlest goal that really doesn't even seem like a goal at all, and show yourself that you do what you say you're gonna do, and show yourself that you don't lie to yourself, and show yourself that when you want to do something, you can, and then increase this believability in yourself as a doer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fear that they need to do everything at once and then just don't do anything at all. And I also think a lot of people, they make that one mistake in their organization or in their diet or in not showing up for their yoga class one day, and suddenly they just throw the whole thing out.
And it's also used as an excuse to throw the whole thing out, because,
Yes,
oh, I
blame.
failed. I guess I'm not, supposed to do that. And then you've got yourself an excuse to not try again.
Yes. So you see all these things that I'm seeing in my work.
Of course. So connected.
So do people fall off the organization? What would you
Wagon.
say? Like, start on a good track, and then, because I know myself right now, I'm looking around this apartment, and sometimes my systems fall out of place.
That's totally normal. I mean, this is a practice. This is a lifelong practice. It's just like yoga, and I actually use that comparison a lot because I want people to break out of the all or nothing, mindset. People are like, "Oh, I'm gonna get organized and then I'm gonna be organized." Period. It's like, no, you have to continue the practice, and new things are going to come into your life, and new changes. Your rooms might have different functions once you're growing and changing, and so you just have to be gentle with yourself. I mean, I just put up a post today about, my own practice of piano has totally fallen by the
I
wayside
saw that.
during during the book launch, which is completely understandable. But I have a choice to make, and I can either see that as a failure and as an excuse to then not recommit to the practice, or I can see it for what it is, which is just, normal human behavior, and say, wait a second, I want to be playing the piano, so I'm going to try again, and do these small steps of practice. So even if you feel like, oh, my place is a mess again, it doesn't have to be, oh, I failed again. It's just like, no, this is normal. So take 20 minutes and clear up one corner and see how you feel.
And that's why I like your book, because when you do fall off, it has these great steps. I read it very carefully, and I like how you could go back to it and sort of, refocus your mind, pick a step, and backtrack,
Right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that for myself. So I want to ask you, about clutter and what it says about a person, their emotional, mental state. And I had this question to you, if you thought in your years, 10 years plus of experience, if which way it works. Does a house that's full of clutter show that inside we are feeling unorganized and can cleaning make us feel more organized inside?
All of the above. Basically the thing is that everyone is different, and everyone has different feelings about things. At the same time, I'm saying that, and in some ways we're all the same, and in some ways we're different. So you could walk into a house that is spick and span and doesn't have a thing out of place, and you won't pick up dust anywhere, and that person could be a mess inside. You know what I mean? So, and the opposite is true as well. It's whatever works best for you. So I think that there are a lot of people who truly do love their clutter and don't feel that it's affecting them poorly. And that's fine. Those are people who don't call me, that I'm not there for, because that's not my ideal client. But what I have found for most of my clients is that the clutter in front of them and on their phones, in their email inboxes, etc., is making them crazy, is making them more stressed out, and is creating a block towards so many things, whether that's just everyday life and having a handle on all that stuff, simply feeling better, a block to the feeling of relief that you want to feel when you walk in the door or when you open up your email inbox. And then, that block toward not getting to those next steps of being able to do what you want to do, make what you want to make, things like that. But to sort of hit the first part of your question, things absolutely represent inner emotion. There's no way around it. And I think across the board, I don't think anyone, regardless of their current state, can say that they've never felt a connection to a physical object. We all have a sweater that a family member, gave us that reminds us of a happier time, or, things like that. So there's definitely an inherent connection. And then, to go deeper, it's about how, why we feel we need to hold on to some things. And then letting some of that be okay. In terms of actual memorabilia, if it's reminding you of things that are positive, as long as there's not too much of it, I'm actually all for keeping a certain amount of sentimental items, because that stuff holds weight, and that's okay sometimes.
But it does connect us to an old self, right? So for some of my listeners, they want to move into a new space in their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's something that's then holding you back and, holding on to old patterns that you want to break, then it's something that should go. Absolutely. But if it's, for instance, like the first stuffed animal that my dad ever bought me, sure, that's an old self, but I don't think that keeping that one stuffed animal out of, 40 stuffed animals is holding me back in life.
Right.
So it's a case by case basis for sure. But certainly when I'm with people, anything that's what you're describing in terms of representing these habits that you're wanting to change, then I would most likely encourage someone to let that thing go.
And what's that process like?
It can be very different with different people. I love it when people are willing to go deep and actually, really talk about what's going on. But I certainly have some clients who are a little bit all business, and there are also other organizers who are all business and who are really just there to clear out as much as possible, you know, set up systems and leave it. And that's absolutely a way that works for some people. I just tend, with all the work I'm doing, you know, with the stuff that's in the book and what I'm looking to do more of moving forward, what's most interesting to me is to talk about what's really going on and what this stuff is related to, not just in the fields of decluttering, but in creativity and self-betterment and worthiness and all the kinds of issues that are inherent in living a happier life.
That is beautiful.
Yeah,
What you're really talking about is a kind of apartment therapy. And I love it. It's exactly what I recommend. Before we can have anything new come into our lives, we have to make space. Also, I mean, living here, you know, I'm on the East Coast here in New York. There's so much clutter when you walk outside, and there's very
Yes.
little we can do, you know, once we're out there. As far as controlling our environment and this kind of sensory overload that we experience. But inside, we can, you know, and I think what we look at every day has a really strong effect on us.
Totally. You just brought up one of the points that I love to make, which is that there's so much in this life that we do not have control over. And I don't think we take enough control over the things we do have control over. You know, it's very easy to say, well, you know, life just happens and, you know, people get sick and wars happen and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we don't have control over that stuff. But you absolutely have more control than you think about what's in your personal domain.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm in a new home, almost a year now, and this home was in my vision book. I looked back 3 years ago, and my living room that I'm living in was in there. But you know what? It's very, very simple. It's very minimalistic. I actually have some boxes in the basement of my old apartment, and I don't even know what's in them, but obviously I'm not missing them too much.
Right,
I
exactly.
have no idea. I can't wait to see. But it's really a blank palette, and I am enjoying it. I am enjoying it. But I think one of the things that was hard for me was accepting that I could be a person that lives in a home like this.
Yes. The worthiness connection. Am I correct on that? Yeah.
Worthiness
It's huge.
and these judgments, you know, we grow up with ideas about money and those people with money. I know I did.
Me too. Me too.
And that was deep inside of me, and really accepting that I could live in a beautiful space, a sacred space, and have, you know, some things that make me feel excited, like nice sheets. And so there are these signifiers in my home, and certain organizing things I do in my home that remind me of the person that I've chosen to be.
That's lovely to hear you say. Such a huge part of it, and I think is a part of, you know, even when people are in you know, other, whether they're big or small spaces or, you know, just feeling, do I deserve to live in a place where I come home and actually feel good? And
Yes.
it's hard to make those connections sometimes because the worthiness stuff is so deep for all of us, buried down there.
And I think we're also caught up in a culture of busy. And
Yes.
there's something about this, you know, I'm just too busy to organize, even though it'll save you so much time, which I'm sure you've seen. But there's this culture of busy where, you know, I have to pull myself back and say, I'm gonna make the time for this right now for myself to organize for a couple minutes and make that can be a priority on my list.
Exactly.
What I really liked, Faye, is you had, and correct me if I'm remembering it wrong, but I feel like there was something in there in the book about a box, kind of like your art box or your stuff box. Something that reminded me of like having on a lower level in the closet, something you pull out. I know, and it triggered something for me because I have a box in my closet with, there are times where I want to get messy.
Yes.
And I, like I said, my apartment right now, which has been really orderly since I moved in, I have to say, I'm proud of that. But it's, I'm in a creative space, and I kind of want it a little messy right now.
Totally. No, that's, I'm all for that. That's the thing. I mean, I, my principle, and that I follow as well, is you want to get messy when you're creating, you know, when you're in your art, when you're in your flow and you're dedicating that time to that process and whatever project. But before that starts, you want to be able to access the tools you need and have a clear, you know, a clear space to do that from. So, you know, I think what I say in the book is like, you can't literally paint on top of a pile of papers or something like that, you know? And, you know, some people probably can. I mean, there's an argument for everything in the book. But, you know, I know that for me and for so many creative folks that I know, that you want that art table or whatever it is to be clear before you start. And then you start taking everything out and get as messy as you want. And even if that project is living there for a while and is staying messy within its, you know, container, as it were, that's great and that's fine. And that's part of the creative process. Like, get as messy as you want. It's not about the mess. It's about those things and those tools being accessible to you and then having a home and having a place to go back to, so that next time you're not wondering, oh, where did I put back, you know, A, B, and C that I need to create my work?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely one of my problems. Where did I put it back? Multiple homes. Sometimes I have to have multiple items so that there's one of each in each one of their possible homes.
That's, you know, that's fine too if that works for you. You know, I sort of have like a two places to look theory as well. You know, if there's two places and you know it'll be in one of those two places, that's great.
Yes. Oh, this is so great. Can you share with us maybe one or two tips from your book that we can use right now to make a big shift in our space?
Sure. Well, can it be digital?
Oh,
the first thing I'm thinking
please.
Is digital. Okay, great. So yeah, a big shift in your digital space is going to happen in two major ways. One is to unsubscribe from all the emails you don't need to be getting, which, you know, it's so funny. Like, I have a very unsubscribed email inbox, and still, like, today I was already on like three new lists because of like, you know, three different things I've purchased over the past week. And you have to just really be diligent and not just delete those emails, or worse, keep them in the inbox, but actually unsubscribe. And if you do a big mass unsubscribe and big sweep of your, of those, you know, lists that you're on, you will notice a difference immediately in your day-to-day email, because we're unconscious of seeing things and then just ignoring them. It's become such a part of our day to just be like, oh, that's from the thing. Except when you add up all those split seconds that we're doing that, think about all the space that that would create in your life if you added up all those split seconds that we're just glancing over at junk emails that we're not even reading, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I like to recommend this app called Unroll.me, which is a really easy way. I mean, of course, you can also do it manually, but if you want to do it really, really fast, you can use Unroll.me to get off a ton of email lists. And then, you know, I also like to get people to turn off their push notifications that apps send. You know, so-and-so has sent you a Pinterest message or whatever it is, you know, whatever apps that you're already on all the time that are then sending you notifications, whether that's a pop-up message or an email about the stuff that's going on there that you see when you're there anyway. I'm sure you read this in the book. Is such a great way to turn down the clutter on your daily life. So I really encourage people to go into the settings and just turn off all those notifications.
Wow. Yeah, just that alone could affect your brain in such a huge way. And open up space for real, the big ideas and the important things.
Exactly. And not just the big ideas, which is a huge piece of it, but just that you're just going to feel you're going to start to feel the relief of that, and that's also a practice to get into in terms of our relationship with digital clutter and social media, which I talk about a little bit more in New Order. But it really is another example of a practice and habits to try to start, and things that we're still learning because this didn't exist, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely an addiction. Mm-hmm. And each day there seems to be a new platform to get addicted to. So making certain times for it where you choose instead of having it tell you by notifications, I could see how that would be extremely helpful. And also just prioritizing. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking a lot about, you know, when there are a lot of emails in my mailbox and I'm just going through them one by one, I'm not really making a conscious choice of what's important and what I'm sitting down to do.
Yes,
just like getting through what I feel like is next and next and next. And then when it comes to that time for me and my projects and the real stuff that I want to get into, I've used up a lot of time on little annoyances. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, the little annoyances.
Do you have any tricks for us on prioritizing?
In terms of emails or sort of in general?
Well, whatever comes to you.
Well, in terms of emails, you know, I try to keep it really simple. I know there are amazing apps out there, amazing plugins for Gmail and different ways you can use, you know, different email clients, if you will. I try to keep my inbox count so low in Gmail that then I just use the starring process, you know, the stars that are available there to, I'll just like make a red star with the ones that I need to do first. And, you know, I try to keep it basically like after 35 or 40 emails, which I know for most people is probably not that many, but it's, I know that it's not, but it's become like my threshold of stress level. And so once it gets up there, I just need to start starring things to know which ones I need to handle or reply to first. But the other thing that I like people to do is, you know, to not treat your email inbox like a to-do list as much as possible. And I think that'll really help with prioritizing, because if you take the bulk of the tasks out of your email list and put them on your task list instead, then the task list becomes a little bit more of, oh, what do I really need to get done? And then sort of the email inbox, of course, no doubt is a huge part of your daily life. And there's obviously lots of things that come in and out that you need to deal with. But on a more long-term basis, if there are sort of tasks hanging out in your email that something's just reminding you of something, it's going to help your whole prioritization process better if you put that on a trusted task list instead.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to do that myself. I am definitely guilty of using my email list as a task list, and I really like that. Oh, I wanted to ask you about setting boundaries. You know, when people are used to you responding quickly, and these days quick response is often the norm.
Yes.
I know I use Boomerang.
That's
That has
great.
helped me a lot. Today, a Boomerang message went out. It's 1 month before the fundraiser for my nonprofit. And I had time to work on the email I wanted to send in regards to that about a week ago. So I didn't have to wait till today. I was able to schedule it
That's so
to
great.
go out. Oh, it felt so good.
Yeah.
Yes, I wonder if you could share a little bit about boundaries, maybe both in regards to how quickly we're expected to answer emails and notifications, and also how to create boundaries in your space when you're and stay organized when you're living with other people.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So the first one with boundaries, I'm sure you can relate to this. I think as a business owner, there are a couple different categories of, people that definitely deserve a response. I sort of have or just I should say deserve a response. Everyone deserves a response for the most part, but clients, people who I'm serving and there's a business relationship, I try to respond to client emails that day. That's sort of my policy. However, that doesn't mean I need to respond and answer all the questions they may have asked me because I may not have time for that. So it's simply for me, I just think it's important to say, I've received your message. And I will be able to get back to you as soon as possible, or I'll be able to get back to you tomorrow, or whatever that is, to sort of end the day knowing, letting that person know that they're being taken care of in that way and that they've been heard. If they're a client or a business contact that you're sort of in a current relationship with, so to speak. Now, and of course, if there's new business emails that come in, that you feel are, maybe it's the first time you've heard from that person, or it's a new client or new opportunities. Again, I like to respond to those people that day. But again, it can be some things like, just want you to know I got your email. Thank you so much for reaching out. That kind of thing. So it's not just like out there into the ether. But then, you sort of have to pick and choose beyond that because unfortunately, we're just getting so much email that, I had a friend reach out for advice for something, and she's so lovely, and I was able to respond. I said, I'm not able to respond right now, but I will when I can. And then a couple weeks later is when I responded, and then she was so grateful for the response, but then sort of emailed me again with like a whole other list of questions
Yes.
and wanting further advice on the matter. And that's when it gets a little tricky because I have to take care of myself and there's simply not enough hours in the day for us all to respond to everything. So then in that kind of situation, you have to decide whether you can reply at all, whether you reply and say, I'm not able to do this at this time, I'm sorry. And then it's kind of a case by case basis. And it's really, really hard. And I remember 5, 10 years ago when people weren't responding to me and I would get really offended. And now I totally get it, and I don't take it personally anymore because it really is just a matter of like I can't be on my phone at the computer all day, and I'm so grateful. It's like, it's so hard. Like I'm so grateful that people are reaching out to me at all. So it's this weird, I just, you don't want to feel like an a-hole, but
I think that's great what you said. I want to just point it out and say it again, which is not to take it personally when people don't respond to your email right away, and to realize everyone's boggle down and it's not a reflection on you. They may not have seen it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. They may not have seen it. They may be feeling disorganized. They may be feeling overwhelmed themselves. And definitely, you know, I would say to reach out again if it's that important to you, but not out of anger.
I agree. I absolutely agree. There's nothing wrong with following up. I've done it a million times myself. There's certainly nothing wrong with following up with people. And, you know, different things for me, like, you know, email is best. For me, email is better than text, is better than Facebook, is better than all the other stuff. But for other people, it might be different and they may never check their email. So you just never know what's best for a person.
That's a great point.
And yeah.
I've gotten better at talking to people about, is this the way you like to communicate? Is this way
right.
of communicating working for you? And you know, we had that because I like.
Yeah,
I
we
like,
had that.
I have a Facebook messenger I do use. Especially, I like to just look through my friend list.
Yeah.
And it just kind of reminds me who's in my world. And
right.
I'll pop them a message. But, you know, I really appreciated that you were, and I think I might have even taken one or two times because I'm a Taurus and I'm slow to switch my habits. But I respected that you said, you know, this isn't my best way of communication and can we move this to email? And, you know, sometimes that's all it takes is finding someone's, like, sweet spot of communication. And it can just – it can fix the process on working with them so much.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, the other thing about boundaries is I think, you know, whether you're a business owner or just a person out there in the world, we're supposed to take weekends off, you know, for the most part. And that lesson took me a long time to learn. And obviously, like, you know – sure people have different opinions about that, but whether it's a Saturday and a Sunday or just a Sunday or whatever it is, I really think people have to understand that anything that's not personal or time sensitive in no way has to be responded to on the weekend. And yeah, that took me a long time to learn to be okay with. Not just so I didn't feel bad, but also to give myself the self-care of a little time off.
And have you seen in your life and in the lives of your clients from taking on these practices some changes?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. I mean, my boundary practices have increased, and I'm not really actually talking too much about the response time with the email and that, but just the boundaries around certain hours of communication has around communication and around when I schedule certain things in my life has made a huge, huge, huge difference in flow and also in trusting that people are still going to like you and hire you and want to work with you even if you're not available on certain days.
Yes.
You
might become more desirable.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I'm sorry, I'm unavailable. Yeah, people love that. And then, yeah, in terms of client work and just general, just doing this work with people at all, decluttering, I mean, you know, it's funny, I keep wanting to like track it all. I've been like, oh, I wish I tracked it better over the years. But there's so much good stuff that's happened that you can't track it. I mean, people have grown so much. People are still doing things that we worked on in sessions, you know, 5 years ago, and their careers are growing. You know, one of my favorite stories is a friend of mine who hired me to come over and turn her office closet into a voiceover booth. And she's now one of the leading voiceover artists in town. And it had a direct effect, you know, to clear out that clutter on her life and career and joy. So,
wow. She just literally made space for
next
phase of her life, space in her home.
Yeah.
A closet into a voiceover recording studio.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Magical.
you know, I talk about creating sacred spaces, and you know, meditate. People always ask me about meditation and having a space to meditate. And part of meditation practice is sitting in the same space daily if you can. It's ideal because then you fall into that practice really easily as soon as you go into that space. And again, you know, being here in New York City, we have very little space, but it could be a corner. It could be a corner. It could literally be a corner, and I just have a tiny corner in my home, and a candle, but that signals sacred space.
That's inspiring. That makes me, I'm going to put a candle in my corner. Thank you.
That inspiring each
Totally.
other.
Just, I think, no, seriously, that's great, 'cause just the lighting of that saying, okay, we're doing this right now.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you go into a room and there's a big TV, you think TV. We have all these signifiers in our spaces that tell us what energy is supposed to be in that space. You know, sometimes we have kids that come into my yoga studio and they start, you know, running around in the yoga room because it's really big. And because they're young, that looks like a gym space,
Of
the
course.
floor like that. So they, you know, we're getting signifiers all the time by the way a space is laid out and what's in it, of what we should be doing in that space, how we should be feeling, and even emotions arising, as you brought up when you talked about some sentimental items. And I think it's definitely worth it to A, organize and declutter, and then B, look at how the space is, what triggers are in our space.
That's great. That's great phrasing for that.
So back to the second part of that question, leads me right into that is,
Oh,
you know, what to do when you're living with
yeah.
someone else, and maybe you do have a great decluttering practice, but it's not theirs. Have you dealt with that?
I absolutely have. Well, I will say that usually if I'm being called into a situation, the person who's called does not have a great decluttering practice already. So I'm usually sort of being called to help them and then hopefully help their partner too, potentially against their partner's will. So really my advice is, and look, even with a great decluttering practice, we still all have things to work on. There's always room for betterment. So it's really about leading by example and, cleaning up your own side of the street first as much as possible, and stopping any nagging that's happening. A miraculous thing happens when people start bugging you about things. You sort of start to get the message on your own a lot of the times. So I would just, basically any kind of nagging or passive aggressive behavior is usually not going to work. And what I found that works best is to continue to do as much work on your own as you can. And that might mean, clearing out some joint space and asking your partner to weigh in on the process in a very non-judgmental way. And it can be a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight, but eventually something will shift. And that might be a lot. Sometimes what'll happen is, a month after working with someone, then the partner will on their own say, okay, I would like you to work with me too.
I love that. It's definitely true. Leading by example. And we have habits. But when we see someone shifting their habit, it inspires us. And especially when we see that shift has helped them to grow. And again, so many parallels, Faye. I say the same thing with my yoga students. I recently have a woman, she's been practicing with me for over a year, and she has been nagging her husband to come and try yoga. And she actually told me that she decided to stop. She realized that if he did come, he might not like it, and he would probably get on her nerves about it. And that she had this sacred space, and why is she trying to move him into it? Why can't she just enjoy it? Well, of course, just really a week maybe after she stopped talking to him about it, he came in on his own.
There you go.
It's unbelievable what happens when we let go.
Yep. Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, these ideas, these things that we've been talking about, they play into all parts of our lives.
Exactly.
And that's why I really wanted to talk to you, because I know that decluttering and organizing on a physical level, on a digital level, has such a profound effect on our brain function, our peacefulness, the way we feel about ourselves, the way we interact with others. And it is the first step. I really believe that what you're giving people is the first step in a better life.
Thank you. Yes. I like to say decluttering is a gateway drug.
Oh, so. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we
say goodbye? Thank you so much. I think we really we touched on quite a lot.
I want to tell people again that you have this new book out, New Order, a decluttering handbook for creative folks and everybody else. And they can get that on your website. And where can we find it?
Sure. It's available pretty much wherever books are sold. And you can grab the link from my website, which is fayewolf.com. Or you can search New Order Faye Wolf on Amazon or anywhere you like to buy books.
So exciting. Congratulations on this book. I think it's for everyone. I've been recommending it all over. And
thank you so much.
Very usable and very well organized. I love all the graphics.
Yes, and illustrations were done by another classmate of ours, Jeremy Gates, who we also went to college with.
I did not know that.
My gosh, yes.
Yes. Our classmates are doing really amazing things.
Yes.
Yes. So everyone, go out and get this book, New Order. I want to say thank you so much for making this time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. Thank you for asking me. You're doing such amazing work. I'm so proud of you.
Ah.